Retro Asylum, UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Hello everybody, my name is Paul Monaghan, or Mug79 on the Retro Asylum forums, and the episode that I want to be doing today is something a bit different, looking back on gaming magazines, something that was a big part of my childhood and gaming history, and something I spent a hell of a lot of money on over the years. I think really the best way for me to look at this is really having a look, first of all, at the home computer magazines that I used to buy for my Atari ST and Amiga, and then really have a look on the console side after that, due to the fact I feel there was a lot more titles for the consoles, especially in the 16-bit era. But hopefully this will remind, you know, the listeners of their own memories of buying certain magazines, and hopefully inspire them to maybe record a bit themselves, so, you know, for future episodes. Now, my first ever computer of my own was my Atari ST. So my only experience really on the 8-bit home computer systems were basically going around to friends' houses, playing on their Amstrads or Commodores. Also had a friend who had a Spectrum as well. But I remember years ago, a bit off topic, my mum going out with someone who worked for W.H. Smith's late 80s, and he'd be coming back with the old issues of things such as Crash Magazine, Your Sinclair, and with him being, you know, the previous months, just able to have those given to me. So it was good to see all these games, sadly for systems that I didn't actually own, but reading up on them and actually starting to get a bit of knowledge, then going around to friends' houses and just basically saying, oh, check this game out, you know, any chance you might end up buying it? I mean, as we all know, back then you used to be able to go onto the market and pick up games, you know, for £2 or £3, and even the full price ones were nowhere near the £40-45 that we have to pay on a new title nowadays. Now, the first magazine that I actually bought myself was ST Action. I remember buying that from her to W.H. Smith's in Bolton. I think it was about 1990. And the thing that drew me to it was the cover disc on it. I mean, it's a big selling point, especially to a kid, when you think, oh great, couple of demos on that disc there, that'll keep me busy for a while. And the demos on the cover disc for that issue were Super Off-Road, which I previously played on my friend's arcade emulator, and also The Spy Who Loved Me. That was a great demo, really, just obviously based on a James Bond film, and I remember just playing those to death. And the thing is, like, thinking back to Atari ST Action, it was obviously more based around the games. I mean, it used to be a magazine which featured the Amiga as well, before splitting and then going on to make two separate magazines. The Amiga market was getting really, really popular as well at the start of, late 89, start of 90. So basically, I chose which magazine I was going to be buying each month, you know, just looking forward to what was going to be in the next issue, what demos were going to be on the disc and everything. I had a friend across the road who also had an Atari ST, and he decided to go for ST Format magazine. Again, it was more half and half in regards to, you know, some of it based on games and the other ones based on more on utilities. And again, I think the discs that you got on ST Format reflected that. And another one that was really more or less based just on utilities and the serious side of the ST was a ST User. Again, not one that I hardly ever bought. It was all about the games. Whereas friend across the road, he was more into the programming side and seeing the technical stuff that the ST could do. I mean, as we all know, you know, it's a great piece of kit, you know, if you're doing music, and I know quite a few musicians used it, and probably still do. As stated, I stuck with ST Action for my main magazine each month, but sadly, as the ST started to decline, still really, you know, quite early 90s, it started to fade away as a magazine, going down to, you know, 70-odd pages, and then less and less each month. Still, you know, I still carried on buying it, though, for the demo discs, but eventually ST Action got incorporated into basically the games section in ST User, like, as mentioned, not a magazine that I bought, but by that time I'd moved on to my Amiga 1200, and I'd obviously started buying magazines for that. Now, one ST magazine that did carry on for quite a bit longer was ST Format. As mentioned, you know, it had it wasn't just about the games, it was looking at, you know, all the other utilities and things the machine could do. But just rounding up, looking at ST Action, I mean, I would like to look at it in a bit more depth, and the Atari ST in hopefully a future episode, because as it was my first computer, I've got a lot of memories from it, so I'd probably spend a bit more time in the future discussing the actual magazines. But the amount of great games that are played on these demo discs that came with ST Action, so many memories playing both the Turrican games, Supercars 2, Lotus, Rodland. It was just a hell of a lot of good demos. I mean, later on you end up getting a bit of a public domain software, but by then, really, I just was losing interest. It was all about playing the demos for the new up-and-coming games, and sadly, by that point, the ST really was on its way out. Now, as most of the Atari ST magazines had faded, and the ST more or less totally died out, it was a Commodore Amiga that was still going strong for a couple of years yet. I said I got my A1200, I think it was about 93, possibly 94, and there are quite a few big titles in the magazine world that you could buy. Again, had your cover discs, again, like the ST, you had a bit more of a serious magazine with Amiga format, but again, with Amiga Power and Amiga Action, it was more about the games. Now, just been reading up and getting a few notes for this show, and I was quite surprised to see that Amiga format lasted all the way to the year 2000. There's a couple of websites you can go on, which I'll mention later, you know, that has magazine scans, and I was really surprised looking at some of these late issues of Amiga format, the fact showing you obviously how to go online with the Amiga, coming with actual CD-ROM demo discs. I mean, I'd given up buying it by then, but I don't know if any of the listeners out there have obviously stuck with it so late. I know that I've seen on Twitter Uniforex has been messing around with some Amiga hardware, so he may be able to shed some light on it, because it is definitely a part of the Amiga lifespan that I totally missed. I previously asked on Twitter what people's favourite magazines were growing up, and obviously quite a few 8-bit magazines were mentioned, but one that did get quite a few mentions was Amiga Power. Now, again, that ran for quite a few issues, 65 altogether, unfolded in 1996, and a lot of people seem to remember the humour the magazine had. Again, it's one I only really bought a few issues of, like ST Action. I was loyal to Amiga Action, But I think what it eventually came down to, some months with quite a few magazines for the Amiga on the market, it just again came down to what was on the cover disc, really. And again, like the ST, loads and loads of good demos on there. Sometimes again the full games, and they knew how to entice you. And it, again, like the ST, it was a case of right, what's on next month's disc. But yeah, it's one that holds a lot of good memories for a lot of readers. Saying it had the same sort of humour as Your Sinclair, which obviously was a massive magazine for the Spectrum. Just before I move on to the console magazines, just one more magazine that I want to briefly mention, a multi-format one, which came out weekly, called Games X. Now, this came out in 1991, and it didn't even make a year. It was just under a year when it folded. Now, it was a great multi-format magazine covering, you know, Spectrum, Commodore 64, Amiga ST, and also the console market, which was starting to get really, really big at that time. Now, thing is with Games X, it was really, really cheap. I think it was about 60-65p. I think it was Fridays when it came out, because I remember the local shop by primary school used to stock it. And it was just quite nice, quick, easy read. Not loads of pages, but what do you expect for, you know, 60-70p. I also remember a couple of issues even came with demo discs. I'm pretty sure the price went up to still probably only about £1. I remember playing, again, the Rodland demo on that, and a couple of others. And after just having a quick read up on Games X, they were saying obviously it folded because they just couldn't afford to run the magazine, obviously, with production costs or whatever. I seem to remember Swainy putting a little YouTube video up on a Retro Gamer site. I remember Swainy uploading a small video on the Retro Asylum site, having a look at an issue of Games X. And again, like many magazines that I'm going to still be discussing, it brought back a lot of memories. And even though it didn't really last a full year, I thought it was still a really good idea to get a weekly fix of games news and reviews. I think that's one reason why I started listening to this show as well. It's just so many people obviously want to discuss different things, and it's a great way to get your retro gaming fix. Anyway, enough of the gushing over how much I love the show. Time to move on to the console era of magazines. One of the longest running games magazines, which I'm sure everyone's aware of, was CVG, Computer and Video Games, running all the way from 1981 to 2004. And I remember in 2004 I was working at GameStation, and then when I found out that the latest issue that we had on the shelves was actually the final ever one, I was quite surprised. Because that was really one of the first console magazines that I bought, CVG. I remember it must have been around issue 130, again, quite early 90s. And one thing that came with it around that time was a little handheld magazine called Go, which covered the Game Boy, Game Gear, Atari Lynx, and it was a nice little touch to magazine, really, because obviously the console market was really, really popular around that time, so obviously putting all the handheld news and reviews and previews and cheats into one little magazine was a great idea. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head how many issues of that we did. I think it was roughly about a dozen, maybe a little bit more. I'm sure someone out there, you know, might still have issues of it. Sadly, all mine went to the tip, like the majority of my gaming magazines. I think it was about 1999, 2000, when I just thought, no, can't be keeping them, all up in the loft, and they need to go, you know. And sadly, now I look back on that and regret it a little bit. But anyway, just back to CVG, which does lead me on to the console market. Now, obviously, CVG featured a lot of the 8-bit computers, you know, such as your Spectrum, your Amstrad, Commodore. But the home console market was starting to get a lot more popular. So you had, obviously, Master System, you had your PC Engine, the Mega Drive was, you know, really starting to pick up steam. Obviously, the NES, and then SNES as well. So what happened was a new magazine, section in CVG debuted, Mean Machines, aimed at the console market, and then later on actually became a magazine of its own, you know, for the growing console market. So with Mean Machines magazine, it lasted just for 24 issues, but as stated, as the console market was really taking off and getting a lot bigger, it split into two separate magazines. Mean Machines Sega, obviously focusing on the Mega Drive, Master System and Game Gear, and then also the Nintendo Magazine System, which obviously covered the Super Nintendo, which was getting more and more popular, the original NES and the Game Boy. Now, I'm still luckily enough to have kept hold of issue one of the Nintendo Magazine System. Sometimes just use them, you know, these magazines just to reference and have a look through again, just to again see what people were saying about the games back then, and obviously to see if my opinion on some of them has changed. As stated previously, this is really when the magazine market just became saturated with different titles for, you know, the same console. I mean, for Super Nintendo, you had, I said, Nintendo Magazine System, Total, N-Force, that later became SNES Force, not really a great magazine, Super Pro, Super Action, my all-time favourite magazine, Super Play, which, just quickly discussing that magazine just for a few moments, ran for 47 issues. Great magazine. It just had its own style. Heavily featured, a lot of import reviews. Great artwork style as well by Will Overton, someone I follow on Twitter. And it's always just good to see his artwork. He's been posting a few little pieces here and there on Twitter, and it's just one thing that stood out when you used to be in a newsagent deciding what magazine to buy, and it's just absolutely fantastic. It just obviously had this Japanesey type look to his art, and his artwork was used again for the last issue of Nintendo Game Magazine, and I'm just skipping forward a little bit here, but that ceased publication in October last year. Now, that used to be Super Play before then becoming an N64 magazine, then a GameCube magazine, onto a Wii magazine, and we actually had a quick look back at the different issues going all the way back to Super Play. Again, a little bit of information about each issue. So anyway, we got Will Overton in to do some artwork for the front cover of that. Great picture on it with Mario, Zelda, and Samus from Metroid. And it's one magazine I had to buy. I mean, when that issue came out just over a year ago, I don't actually own any current Nintendo consoles, but I just thought it was a great piece of nostalgia. Anyway, just quickly going back to Superplay, the other thing that it did feature on was sometimes feature things like import toys if they're like tie-ins to any of the manga scene that was getting really, really popular around early to mid-90s. Something that I used to like a bit. I think it was about 13, 14. Used to buy a few manga videos that they reviewed in a Superplay. Now, obviously, that magazine folded when the Super Nintendo was starting to run down, and obviously the Nintendo 64 came onto the market. But alongside it, like I say, we had the Nintendo magazine system that obviously bridged that gap between SNES going on to the N64. But it seemed to be quite a few magazines started to die off then. A lot of things like SNES Force, Super Action, Super Pro, they were long gone. Even Total, magazine that I used to buy quite a lot, that had its own distinctive style. Steve Jarrett and Andy Dyer were two of the original writers. Steve Jarrett featured in the relaunch of Official Nintendo Magazine, I think in about 2006, I think it was. And to me, that again brought back a lot of nostalgia due to the fact I remember reading magazines where he was like, you know, the main editor back growing up. And same when, you know, I follow Julian Rignall on Twitter again, another one of those big names that associate with magazines growing up. Yeah, so basically, with Total Magazine, that really was a great magazine, just covering, obviously, the Nintendo consoles. But now, just going over to the other side of the coin, Sega. Again, at the time, I didn't own a Mega Drive. It was mainly a couple of my friends who had one. I went down the Nintendo route, but I still found myself going into news agencies, using my paper round money, still buying Sega magazines, just wanted to find out as much information about upcoming games. Sometimes it was, you know, the free gifts on them, be it even posters, stickers, other gifts. I remember, I think it was a video on Mario World, again, that's with a Nintendo magazine. Sorry, Mario All-Stars, I'm really forgetting, you know, all my facts there. And the thing is, obviously, things have changed going from, you know, the 8-bit days where you could get a cassette on there, or even the ST and Amiga with cover discs. There's no way you could put a games cartridge on there, so it was just odd little bonuses to try and get you to part with your cash. So I hold my hands up, complete sucker to things like that. Sometimes it was complete and utter tat. I remember buying Super Pro, and they were giving away a cartridge holder, which was, I think, about three, possibly four bits of plastic that you had to put together, and it just looked absolutely awful. And eventually I just went straight in the bin, you know. I'd rather just keep my cartridges just on a shelf rather than a cheaper plastic holder. Other than that, you also used to get lots of tip books. Again, this is really before the internet, so back then it was great to obviously have all these handy tips, cheats for games that you owned just to hand. I used to obviously have them next to me games, just so if I was really struggling, sadly quite a lot, it was easy just to try and read up and get a bit of help for one of these titles. As with the magazines for the Super Nintendo, the Mega Drive came across the same problems in regards to the magazines starting to dry up by the mid-90s. You had so many titles go around that time. Megatech, Mega, Sega Power lasted till 97, so obviously saw in the Sega Saturn era, Mean Machines, Sega, basically joined with the official Sega magazine that had, been started a couple of years earlier, and it was basically now the time for the 32-bit machines to take over gaming-wise, such as obviously the PlayStation and the Sega Saturn. Now, the main thing really from this era again was the return of demo discs. Now on CD format. Now, it was a time really that magazines could start offering demos again. I remember buying official PlayStation magazine each month, and again, it was a great way to showcase some of these games. And as we all know, obviously, the price of them wasn't, always that cheap. So it was obviously a great chance to try before you buy. Just before going back to the PlayStation, just want to quickly mention the N64. It had its own magazines, like as briefly mentioned before, such as N64 magazine. It still had the official Nintendo magazine, but obviously with them going down the cartridge route, again, it was still the similar sort of free gifts you got with the magazines that you did in the 16-bit era. Again, cartridges more expensive to make. You couldn't just basically get, a cartridge given away on the magazine. So, this has been said quite a few times, that was really the downfall of the N64 for going that way. But now, just going to return back to the PlayStation and the Saturn. Now, the official PlayStation magazine, that launched in 1995. Obviously, the PS1 then launched in our country. Went on for 108 issues, so quite a while, all the way up to 2004. And again, like we said, back to the ST and Amiga magazines, the big selling point really was the cover discs. Now, again, for me, it was a case of some of these games you could spend a fair bit amount of time on. Sometimes things like, demos for football games and other sport games, granted you might only be able to choose two or three teams, but, you could kill a bit of time on them. I mean, some of the demos that I remember, a game called Tombi, really rare now on for PS1, and I used to play that quite a bit. I have things like Resident Evil 2 demo, Command and Conquer, Siphon Filter. One of the big, most well-known ones was the Metal Gear Solid demo. And again, I think it was one day last week on Twitter, some people I follow were discussing some of these demo discs. So even years on, it still shows that, we hold a lot of memories for them. And I don't own any of them anymore. I got rid of them all with, first time I got rid of all my PlayStation 1 stuff. The other thing, which was a really, really good idea, was the development software for Netyazori. It was basically a chance for people to make their own games. Now, sometimes these appeared on some of these demo discs, which was a great little bonus. One that I played a lot of was an RPG. Again, no chance I'm going to remember the name of it. There's been times I've actually tried to, look into getting it again, but still never have picked it up. Obviously, then you've got the official PlayStation magazine for PS2, again with demo discs, and sadly, even that's died out now. Obviously, with the rise of the PlayStation Network, there's just not really any need to be putting these demo discs on there. It's just extra cost for no reason. each week, you know, you're going to be getting new demos that you can be playing on the PlayStation Network and everything. So sadly, it's something really that's actually died out now, the old cover disc. I'll hold my hands up. On the Sega side of things, I'm not too up on the type of demos that actually went on to those magazines, because again, first time round, I didn't actually own the machines. Although, one demo disc that I did get my hands on, but first time I actually picked up a Sega Saturn, probably in about 2001, 2002 on a boot sale, was the Panzer Dragoon Saga demo, which was actually quite, you know, quite a long demo, and for quite a while sought after. I've not had a look to see how much it sells for now, but sadly I don't own it anyway now. Obviously we carried on with the cover discs all the way up to the Dreamcast, but you know, as just previously stated, you know, it's something really now that has died out, you know, and it's just, you know, you play the demos on your console, you know, you download them, and we're back to the free gifts of posters and stickers, you know, for a few magazines that are left, which just before it actually brings me on to the few magazines that are still going, I just want to give a quick mention to another couple of magazines that I used to buy mainly in the 16-bit era. A couple of newsagents used to stock Game Pro and Electronic Games monthly, two American magazines. Didn't buy them every single month, but not a bad read. Both lasted for quite a long time as well. It was always interesting to see, you know, what was going on over in America. I know a few UK magazines covered import games, but you also got to see things like, you know, the adverts for games. I remember seeing the Chester Cheetah game and just thinking, why, you know, what a rubbish idea for a game. I'm sure it, you know, got reviewed in one of the magazines over here, but it's not really the type of game that you'd be longing to relive, I can imagine. And then, sadly, another magazine that folded quite recently was Nintendo Power, one that had been going a very, very long time, and, you know, only just went away recently. So, again, leaves even less now actual physical magazines for gaming. Starting to wrap this up now, just want to just mention a few magazines that have been going really since the 90s, alongside many of the titles that I've mentioned today. First two, really, not something, again, that I've only ever bought a couple of times back in the mid-90s, PC Format and it's PC Gamer, again, both been running since 91 and 93. Again, as we know, the PC market doesn't actually die out, you know, new graphics cards, sound chips, etc. You know, it's a machine that, you know, you can keep upgrading, and it's not really one that, you know, you can really see dying out, hence the machines are still going, and therefore the magazines are still going as well. Again, some of those have gone from floppy disks as cover disks on way to CD-ROMs, and really the other two magazines that have been going again for a long time. First up is Edge, one that's held in very high esteem, which started way back in 93. Now, I remember buying the first issue of that, and it came in a plastic bag. Didn't really give much away. I read a couple of adverts, well, seen a couple of adverts through it in other games magazines, and it's like, oh, what is it? And it was around the time where there was a lot of new consoles coming out, such as Atari Jaguar, 3DO, CDI. Granted, a lot of these didn't really do anything, but it was a brave step forward, really, to make this, you know, posh-looking adult multi-format magazine. You know, it still featured Super Nintendo, Mega Drive, but only a little bit. Now, as I said, that's still going today. You know, it's over 20 years now. And again, it's sometimes, you know, as a look back at its own history, quite peek back at a bit of retro stuff, which is good, you know, looking back at its heritage. And the other magazine, again, been going a very long time, based on the old TV show that's sadly no longer with us, but it's Games Master. Again, I think that started about 1993 as well. Remember it just being quite a thick magazine, you know, getting on for 130, 140 pages for a while. Again, covering all the formats, so you still had all the consoles, covering PC, Amiga. Again, you got quite a lot of free gifts with that. I remember getting like massive posters. I think the gift from the very first issue was some Games Master stickers for your cartridges that if you, you know, just put it in your cartridge, it'd be like, this cartridge belongs to, and then your name. I got given Mortal Kombat on the Mega Drive a few months ago by my brother-in-law, and it had one of his Games Master stickers on there, which I thought was quite funny, because you're thinking now it's over 20 years ago. Again, Games Master magazine still going. Last time I bought that, probably about a year ago. Sometimes it's just, you know, bought just to have a flick through, you know, see what's going on. And again, they also have a bit of a retro section, looking back at, you know, different systems, sometimes going all the way back to the 8-bit era. So I think it's a good sign that these magazines have actually started to realise, you know, the old gaming heritage and history, which then just brings me on to basically the final two magazines that I'm going to discuss today. The first one is Games TM. Now, this has been going now for, you know, quite a few years. Came out in, I think it was about 2002. Used to buy it religiously each month. It was a magazine for, obviously, current generation of consoles. So back then, you know, your original Xbox, your PS2, pretty sure the Dreamcast was still in it. Again, I've sadly don't own the Games TM magazines anymore. Used to collect them each month for the first 4 or 5 years. But again, like we can all appreciate, it just comes down to space. But the thing that struck me about Games TM is they had a nice little retro section each month. So that's one thing that made me keep holding the magazines, well, for a while at least, anyway. Because again, I know I keep going back to it, but it's good reference material and reminding you of, you know, games you may have forgot. They still obviously got the retro section, but in 2004, another magazine came onto the market, Retro Gamer. Now, again, this is obviously my favourite magazine that's going nowadays, and probably the same with most of the listeners of this podcast. Now, when Retro Gamer first came out, it struck me straight away. Okay, first thing you see on it, a cover disc, and you're thinking, brilliant, that sums up the entire feel of the magazine. You know, it had things like just little, you know, I don't know, like copies of games in a way, you know, like, but just great memories, really. With issue 100 of Retro Gamer, they bundled with it a reprint of issue 1, obviously, sadly, without the cover disc. I have bought issue 100 because I used to have the original issue 1, But again, like my Games TM magazines, they were taking up too much room, so they went against something that I regret. And yeah, it was basically a load of retro games for the PC on the demo disc, and just looking at this, just where the disc should have been, saying syntax error, missing cover disc, consult news agent, and that's always one thing that I remember, you know, again, buying me Atari ST magazines and Amiga as a kid, obviously cover discs having to be taken off, kept in a box behind the newsagent counter, and just making sure if you'd be sending a parent, just say, remember cover disc, remember cover disc. I remember once just being quite angry at my mum for getting to chase this up. To be fair, I should have actually gone to the newsagent myself rather than sending her. But I think karma proved that, you know, I should have done it myself because I still had to go up and then go and get the cover disc. As said, Retro Gamer still going strong today. Over 120 issues of it now. And I think it's got the feeling of the old magazines. You know, you look forward to the next issue. It doesn't just feature usual suspects of games machines, you know, it'll look into more obscure ones, it'll look into key titles on these machines. Obviously got loads of you know, monthly features, games that, you know, time forgot. One thing that I do like about it is looking at the games news from certain months, some certain years. Again, shows like little bits about what was featured in the magazines at that time as well. Some of the ones that I've, you know, mentioned today, such as Super Play, Sega Saturn magazines. I can only see retro gaming getting stronger and stronger. I mean, at the moment, with the retro market being so popular, and sadly making certain games that we may want to buy very, very pricey. It's obviously going to be here hopefully for a long time. And I suppose that really takes me to this podcast. I mean, you know, as more and more people contribute ideas and episodes to, you know, Andy and the guys, it only makes it stronger. You know, it's giving different opinions, different views on games and machines. Also, a chance to discuss things that may not have been discussed before. I said much earlier in this episode, I'm hoping to have a look at the Atari ST. You know, something I do feel passionate about. But now just, you know, closing this episode up, it just comes down to the memories from magazines. Always great just to flick back. I know there's quite a lot that I've not mentioned, again, mainly from the 8-bit era, and then everyone else has obviously got their favourites. By all means, feel free to tweet me. My name's PDmon Paul, or again, just you know, discuss this, you know, on the Retro Asylum forum. Okay, hopefully it's been a bit informative. I know it's not fully in depth, as I say, but hopefully it'll jog some memories, you know, and sort of the memories that keep, you know, these gaming magazines alive. Thanks a lot.